Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. Frances McGuire, RSJ, has been a sister of St. Joseph of the Sacred Heart for 60 years. She's been a secondary school teacher and adult educator and is currently involved in spiritual accompaniment, leading retreats and conducting a course on forgiveness and reconciliation in parishes. Frances is passionate about care of earth and all her creatures and believes in enabling people to believe in themselves, to trust the spirit within them.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast. Today, I'm reflecting on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, 37 to 42, for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm sitting in Whadjuk country of the Noongar Nation, and I acknowledge their elders, past, present, and emerging, who never ceded this land. I acknowledge their connection to land, water, air, plants, and animals, and support their dreams for recognition, voice, and truth-telling. I'd like to reflect on three things. First, the consequence of choosing Jesus over others. Then Jesus' identification with creatures. And service and reward. The first words of Jesus here seem a bit tough. If you love your mother or brother more than me, you are not worthy of me. But it is helpful to remember that when Matthew wrote this, he and his little community were being expelled from synagogues and probably their families on account of following Jesus. So the choice was very real, as it is for Christians in some parts of the world right now. In our own lives, it might be less drastic, but present just the same. It's often easier to keep quiet in discussions of justice or climate change, or human rights, or faith, or whatever, rather than risk alienating our friends. As a current example, how game am I, or you, to raise the topic of the voice in a group of colleagues or friends or family, or with our neighbours? And this really matters, as Jesus mentions a little later in the same gospel. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and those who welcome me welcome the one who sent me. And so on about welcoming prophets and holy people. Jesus appears to identify with these people, as he also suggests in that story of the sheep and goats on the right and the left of the king in Matthew 25. Whatever you do to these, the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. Whatever you don't do to these, the least of my brothers and sisters, you don't do to me. Then Saul on the way to Damascus. I am Jesus and you are persecuting me. In all these cases, Jesus does not say, it's like as though you do it to me. He says, you do it to me. This seems to me to be saying that each of the persons in these situations is Christ. Each one of you who are listening to me, you are Christ. Paul says in Galatians 2, I live, no, not I. Christ lives in me. And in Acts 17, in him we live and move and exist. I used to imagine that there was a small place somewhere in me where Jesus lived, but I don't believe that anymore. Christ lives in me. I live with Christ's life. We are not two separate lives, two separate Christs. I live, no, not I, Christ lives in me. And why? Why does Christ identify with me? With you, share his life with me, with you, solely because of his love. is because he loves me so much that he becomes one with me. It's almost as though Christ enters me because he can't resist on account of his great love for me. And the same applies to you and everyone else. Christ's love is so great that he, as it were, can't hold back from union with each one. All this, of course, is a very limping way to explain a mystical reality. Our words are quite inadequate, and apart from prayer and contemplation, words are all we have to move into this reality. G.K. Chesterton has a wonderful poem, As Kingfishers Catch Fire. In the second half of the poem, he writes, and I've made it inclusive language, so I'm sure he'd want it today. I say more, the just person justices, keeps grace, that keeps all their goings graces. Acts in God's eye what in God's eye she or he is, Christ. For Christ plays in 10,000 places, lovely in limbs and lovely in eyes not his, to the Father, through the features of our faces. Let me read it again. I say more, the just person justices, keeps grace, that keeps all their goings graces, acts in God's eye, what in God's eye she or he is, Christ. For Christ plays in 10,000 places, lovely in limbs and lovely in eyes not his, to the Father, through the features of our faces. Acts in God's eye, what in God's eye she is, Christ. Acts in God's eye, what in God's eye he is, Christ. I think Jared got what Jesus and Paul were saying. Each person is Christ. So that when I welcome a holy one or a prophet or anyone else for that matter, I am welcoming Christ actually, not just metaphorically. David Steindl Rast said at one time, God is not someone else. I would like to add, Christ is not someone else. I used to think that union with God was my goal. When all of this began to dawn on me a little while ago, I realized that I am in union with God. I am in union with Christ. So I think now that my goal, or one of them anyway, is to realize more and more deeply, I am in union with God. I am in union with God and all God's creatures. To realize more and more deeply the reality of my union with God, to allow myself to believe it more strongly. I am Christ. It's a bit of a challenge and a bit scary, a bit too much, really. Nelson Mandela, quoting Marianne Williamson in his inaugural speech, said, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. I do sometimes feel uncomfortable, in awe of the reality of our union with God and all that is. It is almost too much. Also, there is a responsibility here. Perhaps my sharing this conviction of my oneness with Christ with you today is part of the reason I was given it, to encourage you also to believe it, to allow yourself to grasp something more of this awesome reality. And sharing it does help me to own it more. Finally, the last section of the Gospel for today, about giving a cup of water and receiving a reward. Reward is not the same as merit. From what I've said, it's obvious that a cup of water given to anyone is a cup of water given to Christ. I find our church somewhat schizophrenic. Our prayers talk about grace, and then in the same breath, talk about merit, an obvious contradiction. But reward is something else. Reward is totally gratuitous. If merit was valid, it would be the justice of God which gave it. Reward comes from the graciousness of God, the gratuitousness of God, the abundance of God. So what does all this mean for our daily lives? I'd like to connect it to the three points I set out to make. Let's continue to choose Jesus and Jesus' way, even at the risk of losing face or friends. Secondly, let's give ourselves some time to deepen our awareness of our union with Christ, to accept this great love. And finally, let's be gratuitous, abundant, generous in our dealings with others, as God is. Give that cup of water.
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and The Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.